This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. We were having trouble with the lead for this episode, which is devoted to the state of local news, especially newspapers. We emphatically did not want to start any sentence with, in a time when, or end one with, now more than ever. But here we are, in a time when, now more than ever. I mean, you know that journalism is historically seen as democracy's bedrock because it informs the electorate. And you may know that local news consumption is correlated with higher community engagement and voting rates. You're aware that local reporting serves as the watchdog on corruption in and out of the state house, malfeasance, and inefficiency that costs taxpayers money. But according to polls, you probably aren't aware that the local paper in your area, assuming you still have one, is quite likely mortally imperiled, more at risk than any senior citizen with a pre-existing condition. In fact, that's a pretty good analogy.
You almost certainly didn't know that epidemiologists rely on local news, and especially local papers, because they're accessible and well-archived to identify and track outbreaks. Now, disease detectives, absent much of such content, complain they are often flying blind. Look online and you'd think the newspaper business is thriving. A zillion stories from all over creation on your news aggregator, Facebook, Twitter, buzzing your phone. But that's a mirage, the output of a handful of stable national news outlets. The tragic reality is that hundreds of counties lack even the most basic coverage of local, county, and state government, not to mention the courts, culture, business, or public health. Many regions are now news deserts where nobody, literally nobody, is minding the news store. Penny Abernathy is the Knight Chair in Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina, where a comprehensive survey of American news capacity revealed a catastrophe well underway. Penny, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you for having me.
Where are the absolute news deserts, the places barren of all journalism?
It tends to have occurred more frequently in the South, in large part because that's where we have many of the economically struggling counties. And unfortunately, marginalized communities that need that kind of everyday information, they've lost that vital link to our society and to our democracy.
A lot has been written about how investigative reporting just can't be sustained. But is it the paucity of 7-part series on corruption that's most threatening to the democracy versus just, you know, somebody routinely covering the school board?
We lose transparency at the very local level when we don't have someone showing up to cover routine government meetings. And there have been recent research that shows when you lose a newspaper, citizens in a town tend to end up paying more in taxes because there's just no one reporting on the local bond issue. The second thing we're losing is the watchdog function, which exposed corruption of both government and business executives and officials.
I'm thinking of the case of Bell, California, about 10 years ago, where the town council fleeced the citizens of millions and millions of dollars, largely in public meetings attended by no press. Are there other examples of that kind of when the cat's away, the mice will play conduct by local governments?
I live in the 9th Congressional District in North Carolina. The residents here were more than a year late getting a representative because of election fraud. And it went uncovered and unnoticed because there was no reporter at either the local papers there or at the regional papers covering that issue. I have talked to county and city communicators in North Carolina, and all of them have expressed concern about what their role is when they see a local government go into closed-door session when they shouldn't be, and there's no reporter there to explain to them what the law is about open meetings. They've also expressed concern about what happens when they see examples of what could potentially be corruption, and as a person who is supposed to be getting the information out, what is their role in exposing that? So it puts all of us in a kind of awkward position if we don't have someone who's been trained as a reporter, knowing what is expected of elected officials as well as government agencies, to be able to say, we have a right to see this, we have a right to inform our citizens about this so they can make informed judgments.
There are unseen losses of capacity as well. In the days of 30 and 40% profit margins, publishers could afford to report without fear or favor. And if they found themselves being challenged over a subpoena or a libel action or a need to litigate over a Freedom of Information request, whatever, they could afford that. I expect the number of news organizations in the United States still able to do that is in the neighborhood of maybe 20. What is the effect when publishers lack the resources to charge ahead come what may?
Yes, one example here in North Carolina, we have a small twice-weekly paper published down in a very poor county. The paper won a Pulitzer Public Service Medal back in the 1950s for taking on the KKK. It took 2 years of courageous reporting to bring in the law enforcement officials that were needed and to shine the spotlight on the corruption that was going on in that small county. It almost bankrupted the newspaper. And I had that publisher tell me most recently that the difference between operating at a 20% profit margin and operating in the low single digits was that he had to think twice about every story that might require legal action.
Look, you know, every news employee in the world knows what's going on out there. But are there data that get to how well the public understands what it has lost already and what more it stands to lose and what the risk is to democracy? Considering the plummeting levels of trust for the media, do they even care?
One of the things that has concerned me over the last 5 years that I've been researching and documenting the rise of news deserts is just the lack of public awareness of the problem. Pew did a survey last year that showed that 75% of the people they surveyed were totally unaware of the financial problems going on at the local newspaper or news organization, even though 50% of them had noticed there was a loss of local news in whatever outlet they were turning to for their local news. There's been a huge disconnect also, too, in a willingness to pay for the news, especially in the digital age. Only 15% of those surveyed by Pew said that they had subscribed to something in the past year. On the other hand, Gallup has done surveys for the Knight Commission on Trust in Media and Democracy that found that people still have a higher degree of trust in local media than they do in national media, and that is at least a building block to start on. I think people have become aware once again of how important local news is.
Are we going to make it?
We are, but we've depended on one type of business model to support local news for 200 years. And we have got to be open and flexible to thinking about a variety of business models that will suit the various communities that need them. That's going to be a for-profit for some. It's going to be a combination for-profit, non-profit for others. It may be non-profit for yet others. And it may involve some kind of increased public funding. Because if not, we risk having a nation that is divided between those that are digitally connected and those that aren't digitally connected, because many of these economically struggling communities do not have residents connected to this information/digital age.
Penny, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
Penny Abernathy is the Knight Chair in Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina.
Coming up, Bob offers a primer on how we got here.
This is On the Media.